Welcome to the Revolution Church Sermon of the Week.
We're a small group this morning, so I'm trusting that you guys can carry this for the rest of the group. And the word that I'm bringing this morning, it's not because I'm bringing it, but I do believe it is of incredible significance and central importance to us as a body here, but us as a body wherever you are from. And it's awesome. Thank you for worshiping with your whole heart this morning. We have guests in the room coming all the way from Germany, and I just am so blessed to be able to worship with people from another nation with the same heart. And you just feel it, eh? It's so cool. It's so cool. And that really is kind of central to what I want to bring, the word I want to bring this morning. I know everyone's got different Bibles and different phones and different apps. So I'm going to actually do things the old-fashioned way today, very old-fashioned. I'm using paper and pen and handouts. Doesn't get more old-fashioned than this. But if we could just hand out, this is the same text, so everyone can read it off. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which isn't necessarily the best translation, but it's the one I chose this morning. And I just hope that we will be all blessed this morning by this. So I was just reflecting as kind of an introduction to this message this morning about it's August, September's coming up, school's coming back, and much to the disagreement of my kids, I've attempted to bring them up to speed a little bit before we go back to school. They don't like it, but we sit down around the table and just go over some of the concepts needed to help them with the fall. And I was just discussing with my oldest son, I was like, please don't get upset by where I'm starting here, you know, because the concepts that you learn from grade 3 to 5 are the ones that you continually go back to. And if in fact you think about it, most of us, whether it be math or English or, you know, some of the basics of education, if you look back of it, it's really at a grade 3 to 5 level on many ways, you know, multiplication, adding, subtracting, you know, the basics of language. You're always going back to that foundational place. And if you haven't built that foundation, if you haven't put it in place, you cannot advance to the more advanced level of whether language or math or anything. You have to go back. And it's the same in the scriptures or in the foundations of what God puts into our life. We cannot advance past the central and foundational principles he's put into the word. If we try to, it just falls apart. And so if we haven't learned that, then God's going to continue to bring us back. He's patient, he's kind, he's long-suffering. And us as individuals and as a local body, but also the church worldwide, the things that God wants to release to us, the things he wants to give to us, the things that he wants to pour into us, he has to put those foundations in place. So one of the foundations I want to talk about this morning is just exactly along those lines. And I'm going to do something I do with the Sunday school kids. And again, it's just going back to the basics. It's going back to who we are, who God wants us to be, and how much more he wants to pour into us. And so we're going to be reading from John chapter 17, verses 20 to 26. I've given you the handout, so we can all read along. And then we're just going to go over this a little bit before I speak into this particular passage. So maybe we can just start here by reading this together. And if you know the context, it's Jesus. He's with his disciples, they've all kind of come to an understanding that something big is going to happen. The disciples don't really understand how big it is and what Jesus is going to do. But he's meeting with them. It's an intimate moment. And then suddenly, it would seem almost spontaneously, he's moved, Jesus is moved by the Spirit, and he prays. He prays this prayer, which is an unburdening of his desire for his disciples and for the believers. And it's kind of the fulfillment of really why he came. He's releasing that to the Father, knowing and trusting that the Father is going to then release it back into the earth. And he says, in verse 20, he says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. This particular verse is a bit of a challenge to kind of unravel, because there's a lot of you and me and him and I, and you think, okay, where is this? But in the context of this, we really get this understanding of being in each other. And so I just wanted to unpack this particular scripture a bit. I'm going to be talking about unity in principle, but I'm also going to ask for some volunteers. So often what I do with the kids is I put the scriptures out just like this, and I invite someone to come up and say, "Can just circle or underline the things that pop out to you." So who would be a brave soul here this morning? Come on now. The kids are like, they are raring to go. They've all got their hands up. We have one stepping forward. So why don't you just go through here and circle words that step out to you. Do we need some Jeopardy music here? So, Al, thank you for being a brave person to just step in. So he has circled praying. Praying comes up in here a number of times. In me, in you, and one. Okay, so I'm just going to circle these ones in different colors. Is anyone else want to come up who's seen something that they might want to highlight? Savannah. Oh, so one. Okay, let's get you a different color here. What do you see? Red color. Very good. Excellent. Oh, sorry, keep going. Yeah. You see something?
I love the world.
Awesome. That is so true. Yes, amen. So Savannah has really highlighted all those who will ever believe, okay? This is important. All those who will ever believe. Do you see something? Oh, yes, that's right. So Jesus wasn't speaking just to his disciples. It was all those who ever believe. And yes, this is us, right? This is us in this room right now. This prayer that he was praying, he knew that this prayer was also for us, for those who would believe afterwards. And isn't that awesome? This is one of the only phrases in the Bible where he makes a specific reference to those who will come after. We know that we've been commanded to go and make disciples, and so we know that there's this expanding kingdom, but there Jesus sees us in this prayer. And that's just such an awesome thing. So, And then as Savannah said, so the world will believe that you sent me. Okay, so these are all great. So we've got praying. Jesus is praying. If he's praying, that means he's accomplishing. It's for all of us. It's the sense of oneness and of unity. I'm just going to put it over here to the next page, and I'm just going to invite someone just to come up and do the same thing here, okay? Anyone see anything that needs to be highlighted in this particular passage? Galen, thank you. Sorry for those who are listening online. Galen is a box man, not a circle man. That's always an interesting. I am in them, and you are in me. Okay. Awesome. I am in them. Jesus is in us. And you, God the Father, is in Jesus. God the Father in Jesus. We're all in this. So this is us. Kind of. And then we're kind of all. You can't do this physically, right? This is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual embrace of God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, us, all embraced together, and not just one individual, but all of us together. Anyone else want to take a stab at this? Yes, okay. Deborah. Yes, excellent. Really well done. Good. So they may be one as we are one. Okay? One, again. How many times have we seen this word? One. And then, if you didn't see it enough, perfect unity. It's said a different way. Perfect unity. Excellent. Which is one, again. And why? That you may love them as much as you love me. Okay? I'm going to just highlight one more word that wasn't highlighted, but I want to make mention of this amazing word, glory. Okay? I've given them the glory you gave me. Why? So they may be one. Okay? Why the glory? So they may be one. Okay? They experience such, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them. Okay. So, if you read on in the passage that I gave you, it mentions glory again in the last passage there. But I will talk a little bit about that further. Thank you, class. You guys are amazing. Amazing. And thank you for doing this together with me. You know, sometimes just the basics of circling and squaring and doing all that really helps to highlight what the word is actually saying. So here at this, in this particular church, and I want to talk about the local church in particular, but you can expand this message out. So there's the local church, there's us as individuals, but there's also the larger embrace of the larger church worldwide. And so we can expand that. Everything I'm going to talk about, you can expand to that. But particularly, I want to talk about the local church and Revolution Church here. But if you're part of another body, then you can put it to your own local church. So it has been of central importance to us from the foundation of this church. And it's not us, our own personal conviction, but the Holy Spirit ministering to us the importance of unity. And just prophetically, the things that God is doing, what he wants to release, will not be released outside of unity in the church. And God has, in his mercy and in his grace and in his desire for us, has touched down on individuals over the years. He's given them anointing. He's given them power to break open as apostolic agents, to break open things, to release things. And we've seen the rise up of powerful evangelists and apostles and healers and so forth like that. And that's all God. But I believe in this hour, he wants to release the body, the church, not to raise up individuals per se, although there will always be individuals who rise up to lead the way. But it's the us. And that is what is going to hold this end time movement. It is what's going to hold the increase of his glory. It's what's going to minister to the thousands and the hundreds of thousands. It's not the one person ministry. It is everyone holding that in unity. And you cannot do it outside of unity. You cannot do it outside of what is a supernatural, spiritual act. And that is one of the reasons why the enemy has been at the church's gates, breaking it down, breaking down unity, causing division. Who is the accuser of the brethren? The enemy. When accusation comes into the body of Christ, it comes through virtue of someone who wants to see the unity broken down, because he knows if he breaks the unity, he breaks the momentum of God. And that's just the truth of it. So in order for us as a church to hold that momentum, to hold that place where God can pour in his grace, his mercy, his glory, we need to hold down unity. We need to hold it together with all of our heart and our soul. We need to be mindful of how we act to one another, how we speak about one another, how we serve one another. It is all centrally important to seeing God release what he wants to release. So as we see that in the scripture, in this passage, that Jesus knew that. He knew that. And he prayed this, being moved by the Holy Spirit, hearing the heart of God, and has a kind of a finale to his time on earth. You'll note here in the passage that Jesus doesn't pray that they'll all be mighty evangelists and do my work. You know? He didn't say, now, Lord, you know, release the gifts in them so that the world would see. Now, I'm not diminishing any of that. We know that. But he prayed for unity so that the world would see God and give glory to him. What brings glory to the Father? What makes the world take notice? It's a unified church. It's a unified church. And what is, when you're out there in the world, what do you hear? What do you hear? What are the criticisms of the world? Hypocrisy and division. And they see that. They see that. They see that the church at present is not unified. So when they come into a context where the people love each other, and there's unity, and there's this bond of love and service and joy in the serving, they take note. They can't help it because it's a supernatural thing. Look at the world. Look at where we are. We are more progressed than ever. We have more information. We have more knowledge. We have more advancement in technology. We are, as a human race, on this track of philosophical enlightenment and putting off constraints, and we don't need God and all of that stuff. But we are more divided than ever. We are more hostile towards one another than ever. We are more at war than ever. It is a supernatural act that can only come through a bond of love and through Jesus Christ that brings people together. Does someone have the time here? Okay, brilliant. So I just wanted to just touch down on some keys to unity. And some of these are just really practical. I'm not going to give chapter and verse for each one of these things, but the reality is that if you do a study in the Word on unity, you can find so much. God is all over it. And in fact, in the Old Testament, in one of the Psalms, can't remember the one, he commands a blessing for ever when the brethren come together in unity. Remember the oil in Aaron's beard and all that? Don't quite get it, but God commands a blessing forever. Is that awesome? So here are some keys to unity. They are just a few of many, and just take note of these, because like I said, we're going to carry this for the church. We're going to be the leaders in this. We're going to be the leaders not only in our context here, but when we go out throughout Greater Vancouver, or if we go visiting in the world, we're going to be advocates, messengers, releasers of unity. Psalm 133, thank you. Psalm 133, reference. So one, pursue love first, spiritual gifts second. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Now, this is particularly relevant for our context, because we are a Spirit-filled church, we're a charismatic church. We desire, we hunger, we love to see the gifts of God manifest in the church. And we love to be part of that around the world, and to celebrate places that are releasing the gifts and seeing those things fulfilled. But as soon as you put that first and you put love second, things get messed up. People start pursuing the gifts for their own gain, their own advancement in the church, to place themselves in a position of leadership or recognition. It just sets things on skew, right? And we've seen that in the past, and that's one of the things that God is breaking down. He's breaking down those situations where people get raised up because they have a particular gift that people want, right? And he's saying, no, pursue love, recognize the context in which I've poured the spiritual gifts in, the body, and do not edify one gift over another, one person over another, but pursue love first and let the spiritual gifts flourish in that context. So that's one thing that we can do, is just to recognize that the gifts are for the edification of the body of Jesus Christ, and then so for the world out there. But if we don't recognize the body of Christ in that, it's gonna get out of balance. Number two, spend time with Jesus, praying in the Holy Spirit, and building up your inner man or inner woman. If you spend time with Jesus, if you spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, if you spend time and pursue intimacy with him, you will love other people. You just can't help it. He works in us, this one in us, and us in the Father, and the Father in us. If we spend time with the Trinity, that just will start to manifest in a greater way. We can't help it, because if he's in us and we allow that to pour out, that's how it's going to pour out, is in love for one another. So it encourages you just in our busy lives. And that's the awesome thing about praying in the Holy Spirit is you can pray anytime. You can be driving, you can be washing the dishes, you can be work at your office. You can just pray. And you don't have to be on your knees at a particular time. Three, believe that God really loves the church and respect it as his precious bride. So every believer is part of God's plan and is precious to him. And regardless whether or not you like them or agree with them, they have a really special place in God's heart. And in order for us to advance and to maintain and to protect unity, we need to love them as if they are either our child or our spouse, because that's the way God loves them. He loves them like they are the most special thing in the whole universe. And we feel that as individuals, but sometimes we can look at other people and we can think, I don't know if you love them the same way that you love me. Or just in terms of the church worldwide, we can look at other churches and think, oh, well, we've got it going, but that church just doesn't, you know, they're missing it in X, Y, and Z. Jesus loves his bride. And if you know that special connection, you don't speak about someone's bride. You don't put them down. You don't, you know, that's just not going to go very far. God doesn't like that. And so in pursuing unity, we honor one another. We speak well of the bride of Christ. We speak well of the church. We do not slander the church. We do not criticize the church from a place of whatever that place would be. We honor the bride. So number four, examine your own life before you become critical of others. In Matthew 7:3-5, we all know this particular scripture, but Jesus tells us to remove the log out of our own eye before we attempt to remove the speck out of another's. And I've had to learn this one, unfortunately, the hard way, and many of us do, is just sometimes the way that we view others and the hurt that we can experience or the things that go deep and can bring disunity have more to do with us than they have to do with other people. Either insecurity or envy or discontent or some of those things, and then we become critical of other people as a result. And so it's a great value if you are experiencing or feeling irritation towards someone, or you're critical towards someone, or just someone's getting under your skin, just to ask the Holy Spirit first, is there something you want to speak to me about? Is there something in my life that is fueling this feeling towards this other person? Now, I've found that when I've backed off and done that, and I haven't always done that, God speaks to me. And when I remove that from my life, the funny thing is, I don't then feel like going to that person most times. Most times I don't feel like going to them at all, because that irritation and that criticalness is actually gone, because it actually had more to do about my own insecurities and how I perceived them to be speaking to me, but it really wasn't that at all. So the Holy Spirit wants to do that, and God knows that we have a tendency to be critical towards one another, but he also knows that he wants to work in us first. And if we allow that process to happen in us, then a lot of that just falls off in the process. Number five, we are all on a journey. Who likes that? Does anyone have that on their fridge or in a little pendant or something? Yes, much overused, but it is the truth. It is the truth. Nicholas and I used to get, ugh, when we used to hear that, ugh, we're on a journey. But now we actually realize how much on a journey we are. And the more you're on that, the more you walk on that road, you're like, wow, this really is a journey. We're on. So it works for all those journeyers. So the thing about being on a journey, and especially when you've had a chance to walk that journey for more years than not, you know, when you're young and you're just out of the gate, you just think you got it going on. You know, you know what it's all about. But the more you walk on that path, you realize just how much you don't know and how much you don't got it going on. And that's just a humbling feeling. And that's what the journey is about, isn't it? It's about learning and walking in humility and experiencing the trials, experiencing the failures, experiencing the times where God just picked you up again, or spoke kindly to you again, or drew you to repentance again, or faithfully reached out to you again. And you just realize, wow, like, I'm only here because God's brought me here. And if you realize that and you actually embrace that, then your desire to criticize someone who's on that place in their journey becomes less, because you realize, you know, God woke, you know, I think about Nicholas very often. God just supernaturally woke Nicholas up in the middle of the night at 25 years old. And he wasn't on his knees at the time. He wasn't doing anything, except that God just kind of stepped down in the room and said, okay, son, you're coming with me. You know, how then do we get wrapped up in this idea that somehow people need to be where we are at any given point, or people need to have the revelation that we have, when revelation is a supernatural thing, and where we are now is a supernatural thing. It's not what we have done per se. None of us can say, I did this, and look at me, how strong I am. I mean, it's just, It's just not the truth. So we need to have grace for people, especially as we grow. There's going to be people coming in who are in different stages of the journey. They may just be saved. They just may be, you know, they may be broken. They may be wounded. They may need different things at different times. If we put a burden of expectation on them that they need to be where we are right now, even though it is God that brought us to this place through many trials, through many times where he just kind of, it's okay, you know, and think, no, you need to just be like that right now. It's not fair, and it's not God's heart. And if we want to continue to maintain that bond of love and unity with one another, we recognize that it is the Holy Spirit that works in each one of us. It is his work, not our work in us, not us telling any individual where they need to be at a particular time, but trusting the Holy Spirit's work, praying for them, serving them, loving them, and recognizing that they too, if they are the Lord's, they too will come through. Number 6, give people the benefit of the doubt. In any situation that we're in, all of us have bad days, right? And we as a family, this is a family context. Families aren't perfect. Individuals and families have bad days. They wake up on the wrong side of the bed. They stub their toe. They have a bad day at work. They have kids squabbling. They have financial constraints. They have things that are going on in their life that sometimes cause them to say stupid things and to do stupid things or to react in ways that they wish they hadn't reacted. And if you give people the benefit of the doubt in those situations where you may feel bruised or wounded or someone's a little short with you or maybe they didn't give you the time that you were hoping for or maybe they didn't pray for you on a Sunday like you were hoping for or whatever the case, it doesn't matter. Just give people a little room. I learned this as well in a different church context. There was some things that just kind of got under my skin, but I also prayed with these people every week. And when I prayed with them, I realized, wow, like, they want revival like I want revival. They want to see God's glory like I want to see God's glory. They want to live holy lives like I want to live a holy life. These people have the same heart as I do. So when they say things that kind of hurt, I just realize, well, no, that's okay. We've all got the same heart. We're all going the same direction. Like, we're on the path together. And I can let that go. I can give them the benefit of the doubt in this situation. I can forgive. I can let it slide. For the sake of unity, for the sake of where we're going together, for the sake of the heart that we all carry. And here at Revolution Church, we carry the same heart. We feel it. We feel it when we worship. We feel it when we enter into prayer together. We know that God has brought us together for a purpose and a plan and a special thing, and nothing is going to get in the way of that. And that's okay if we have bad days. That's okay if we say something dumb, because you will get offended at times, but you just go, no, hey, I just prayed with Nick on Wednesday. And, yeah. Even though he offended me. No, just saying. We're in this together, right? Okay. This is an obvious one, but Bible highlights it over and over again. I'm landing. Do not gossip, do not slander. Forest fires. We've got lots of them going on right now. They didn't start by someone dropping a whole ton of fire on them at one time or dousing it with gasoline. And, you know, it was just one spark at one point, and the whole of the skies are filled with smoke, and there's people being have to leave their houses. One little spark, and that is what the Bible talks about, the tongue, right? that one little spark can start a forest fire. And so it is with the church. And we've been, you know, we've all been around, most of us have been around long enough to see how that can happen, you know, how a spark sown in gossip or slander can just start something. And we've all done it. I've done it where you start to speak about someone in a certain context, as much as you've spiritualized it, as much as you've tried to couch it in religiosity, the Holy Spirit is saying, don't say it, don't say it, don't go there, don't, but and you say it, you release it, and then suddenly there's that feeling in your gut, and you're just like, oh no, why did I say that? And you spend all night that night saying, oh please don't let it get back to them, please, 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 don't let this go anywhere. And so just don't go there. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. Most times, it's not worth it. You don't say it. God knows. Protect each other. Protect each other in love. Cover, it says that, you know, that he who covers a multitude of sins will, anyways, it's a good thing to cover people's sins, right? Lastly, break bread together and pray together. We break bread as a church every Sunday, and we feel that it honors Jesus first and foremost, and second to that, honors the body, which is his body, the Lord's body. And that's one of the reasons why we do break bread, is to honor Jesus and what he's done, and to honor the body of why we come together, why it is of central importance that we as the body of Christ come together. And it's one of the reasons we feel that we are enjoying a special bond of love and unity, because this communion table is not just a symbol, it's not just a religious act, it is a participation in the scripture. It is a participation in us, in the oneness that we enjoy together with God the Father, with his Son, with the Holy Spirit. And as we partake and as we remember what Jesus has done, because we can't participate in that supernatural act without what Jesus has done, that we recognize that what we get to enjoy as a church, what we get to be part of, what we get to be a part of experiencing is God working in us. It's his work. It's his supernatural work of love. And but I would also encourage you, as families and when you get together with one another, to break bread together, to recognize why we hang out. You know, this is an unusual bunch, you know. We would not necessarily get to know each other in any other context except that we come together because of Jesus. So you can also enjoy that fellowship when you get together on the beach or in at mealtimes or whatever. Just say, let's just take a moment to appreciate or to recognize why we know each other. We know each other because of Jesus. Let's break bread together. Let's make that bond even greater. And I believe that will really bring us and protect us even more, the love that we share. Nicholas and I, and on Wednesday nights, we always pray for unity in this church. We pray that God would jealously guard our unity and our love for one another. And again, it's not because we have a particular conviction, although we do, but it's because God himself has a particular conviction on this. And he knows what he wants to do here. He knows what he wants to pour. He wants to pour his glory into this church. He wants to pour his glory into us as individuals. And it will only happen the more that we love each other, the more that we honor one another, the more that we serve each other, the more that we pursue unity together. And I believe and see and feel just that amazing heart of God to do more here. And so I just encourage each one of you, hold this, pursue it, protect it, advance it, and pray for it here and also beyond this context. So, yeah, so let's just stand together and in closing here, just to honor again you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for who you are, who you said you are, who you proved you were and are, for your love for us. Thank you for this prayer, and thank you for that this prayer is still working on our behalf, and that you intercede for us. And so this prayer is still being lifted up before the Father. And thank you, Lord, that this prayer is central to what you want to do. For the advancement of your kingdom, for the spread of the gospel, for the holding of your glory, for the holding of the spiritual gifts, for the presentation of your bride as beautiful and clean and spotless. And we just thank you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for friends visiting us from afar. We thank you for the church worldwide. Lord, we thank you that you are doing a good thing in these days. And we just want to honor that. We want to recognize that. We want to be part of it. And we want to be those who bring that, those who represent that. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for unity. We thank you for love. We thank you for your heart for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lise. Well, God bless you. Enjoy some coffee. Some fellowship.